Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me again today. This is your host, Brother T, as we continue our journey through A Course in Miracles workbook lessons. Today we're going to start with lesson 35. This is day 35 of our year 2020. It is February 4th today. Let's just jump right in, guys. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. Today's idea does not describe the way you see yourself now. It does, however, describe what vision will show you. It is difficult for anyone who thinks he is in this world to believe this of himself. Yet the reasons he thinks he is in this world is because he does not believe it. You will believe that you are a part of where you think you are. That is because you surround yourself with the environment you want, and you want it to protect the image of yourself that you've made. The image is part of this environment. What you see while you believe you are in it is seen through the eyes of the image. This is not vision. Images cannot see. The idea for today presents a very different view of yourself. By establishing your source, it establishes your capital I identity, and it describes you as you must really be in truth. We'll use a somewhat different kind of application for today's idea because the emphasis for today is on the perceiver rather than on what he perceives. So for each of the 3 5-minute practice periods today, begin by repeating today's idea to yourself and then close your eyes, and search your mind for the various kinds of descriptive terms in which you see yourself. Include all of the ego-based attributes which you ascribe to yourself, positive or negative, desirable or undesirable, grandiose or debased. All of them are equally unreal because you do not look upon yourself through the eyes of holiness. In the earlier part of the mind-searching period, you'll probably emphasize what you consider to be the more negative aspects of your perception of yourself. Toward the latter part of the exercise period, however, more self-inflating descriptive terms may well cross your mind. Try to recognize that the direction of your fantasies about yourself doesn't matter. Illusions have no direction in reality. They're just merely not true. A suitable unselected list for applying the idea for today might be as follows. I see myself as imposed on. I see myself as depressed. I see myself as failing. I see myself as endangered. I see myself as helpless. I see myself as victorious. I see myself as losing out. I see myself as charitable. I see myself as virtuous. You should not think of these terms in an abstract way. They will occur to you at various situations, personalities and events in which you figure across your mind. Pick up on any specific situation that occurs to you. Identify the descriptive term or terms which you feel are applicable to your reactions to that situation and use them in applying today's idea. After you have named each one, add, "But my mind is part of God's. I am very holy." During the longer exercise periods, there will probably be intervals in which nothing specific occurs to you. Do not strain to think up specific things to fill the interval, but merely relax and repeat today's idea slowly. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. Repeat today's idea slowly until something occurs to you. Although nothing that does occur should be omitted from the exercises, nothing should be, quote unquote, dug out with effort, neither force nor discrimination should be used. As often as possible during the day, pick up a specific attribute or attributes that you're ascribing to yourself at the time and apply the idea for today to them, adding the idea to each of them in the form stated above. If nothing particular occurs to you, merely repeat the idea to yourself with closed eyes. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. Let's take a good deep breath. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. I think it's two things that jump out at me as we begin our discussion today about this lesson. The first one is that I see myself is repeated again and again and again. I see myself. This is the view that we would see ourselves, the personality self, the ego self, if you will, through the mind, through the eyes of the ego self. I see myself as victorious. I see myself as endangered or helpless or depressed or failing or embarrassed or aggravated, or we can use lots of words, right? I see myself as this or that or the other. But this is an image, the second thing I want to bring up. This is a self-described ideal, a self-described image of ourselves, but we also have a self-described, self-defined ideal self. And the ego, as we've shared, I think, in a previous lesson and discussion, is the ego's mantra, the ego's foundation says, seek but do not find. The ego creates, because it's extremely judgmental and idealistic, the whole foundation of, well, I'll use the term social justice, is really an exercise in creating an idealistic image of what we should be as humans. So it's an expansion of the very thing that we do to ourselves. We're just including other people as a group now in that idea of an ideal self, ideal image of ourself. So the ego says we should be this, we should be that, we shouldn't be this, and we shouldn't be that. And so we create an ideal image of ourselves. But again, its mantra is seek but do not find. And we spend, the ego would have us, I should say, spend all of our waking hours and our dreaming hours, literally, in pursuit of experiencing and manifesting and manufacturing, quote unquote, making an ideal self. But that's impossible. There's no way for us to fix ourselves into becoming an ideal self, because it's an illusion. It's just a made-up construct. So you've heard me say this before, and I say it again today. According to the teachings of our brother Jesus Christ, you are perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. One more time. You are perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. And you must see yourself therefrom. In other words, you are already fully accomplished. There's nothing to work towards. There is nothing to make of yourself. The image of an ideal self is an idol. The golden calf, so to speak. We become self-absorbed. And if we fall short of this ideal self, we literally beat ourselves up so terribly, holding ourselves to some false standard of what we should or shouldn't be or should or shouldn't do. And it's impossible for us to ever achieve that in a world of illusion by an ego mind whose entire foundation is, I am not worthy. And then we have a religious structure that starts out by condemning us from the very moment of birth, that we are not worthy, and that we have to work towards and manufacture ourselves into some idealistic image of ourselves that can never, ever possibly be achieved. The primary reason I want to posit with you today is that because the self that's trying to achieve this idealistic self doesn't exist in reality. Because when we begin to realize ourselves, we begin to see reality for what it is, we can say, in the reverse of that, my mind is part of God's. I am very holy. I must be very holy. And then the ego goes to work, literally describing, defining, and creating an ideal image of what being holy is. So when you think of a quote-unquote holy person, what comes to mind? Jesus, maybe? There's lots of examples. We have saints and ministers and, you know, people that just go out and teach the world and just become these great examples to us of love. But I'll share something else that our brother Jesus shared with us through a channeling, through another medium, just in the last, 20, 30 years. So that's pretty recent. It's not 2,000 years ago. It's within the last 20 or 30 years. He would say this. He would say, a holy person is not someone who walks around with a halo that you can see. Oh, this person has a halo. Or has throngs of people following them and waiting on them and just, you know, wanting to be in their presence. Not that you wouldn't want to hang out with holy people, but here's a description that he leaves us with as what is a holy person. You might want to write this down. If you believe it's not possible for you to be a holy person, I love my brother Jesus, because he always brings things down into a reachable, graspable way of understanding them. He says this about a holy person. A holy person is an incredible friend. Someone who's loving. Someone who takes time out of their day to simply be in another brother or sister's hour of need, to just simply be an incredible friend. As soon as you even begin to think of someone and consider the well-being of someone other than yourself, you are already on the pathway to awakening. It's that simple. You might say, well, when did I start to getting on the, you know, when did I become a spiritual person, whatever, when did I take up this journey of awakening? You've been on this journey a long time, old soul. A very, very long time. I would argue many, 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 many lifetimes. And you are advancing rapidly now. And because you are advancing rapidly, more and more and more information is becoming available to you to assist you in this exponential time where time is actually, speeding up, if you will. Things are happening faster and faster. Now, you've heard and seen and heard stories of witnessing of instantaneous manifesting. You know, and back in the day of Jesus, when he was here, there were stories and tales of, you know, someone manifesting him, if you will, manifesting everything from fishes and loaves to people rising from the dead, literally. or someone who was crippled, you know, becoming healed instantly. We looked at all those, of course, as miracles. But he teaches us now that miracles is a sudden shift of perception. The outer is just a reflection of the inner. My mind is a part of God. My mind is part of God's mind. I am very holy. So it's at a point of remembering this simple truth that we begin to respond rather than react to the world. We begin to consider the needs of our brothers and sisters. It doesn't mean that we need to suffer, and it absolutely does not mean we need to sacrifice. Loving and being loving is as far from sacrifice as you could possibly get, because there is no sacrifice in God. All is already given. There's nothing, and it's impossible that you could ever have any kind of lack whatsoever. Well, but I don't have this and I don't have that, and we can go down our laundry list. But those are the constructs of an ego mind who is trying to define for us and keep us imprisoned by the idea of an idealized self. And it bases that idealization of a self based on what the world is providing for it in the way of praise or specialness or material things or whatever. And if we carried that into our sleeping time at night and looked at that self, that little self, doesn't it play that out in our dreams? Well, of course it does. And it's busy trying to accumulate things in our dreams. We seek this, and it may not be where we see ourselves buying something, but we certainly see ourselves having experiences where we're striving for something. Those are idealized constructs made up of nothing except images in our own mind. You should not think of these terms in an abstract way. They will occur to you at various situations, personalities, and events in which you figure cross your mind. Pick up any specific situation that occurs to you, identify the descriptive term or terms which you feel are applicable to your reactions to that situation, and then use in applying today's idea. After you've named each one, then simply add, but my mind is part of God's. I'm very holy. I see myself as this, and I see myself as that. I see that I need this, or I see that I want that, or whatever you want to put in there. But the point is, follow it up with a statement of truth, because what he's helping us to realize is that those are not statements of truth. Whatever I'm defining myself as in this present moment, as a body, mind, personality, human self, will not be the same moments from now, if not seconds from now, but certainly days, weeks, months, and years from now. None of those things would be true. And if they are transient, if they are temporal, if they only last briefly, what God creates is eternal. So then, if God didn't create it, it cannot be real. R-E-A-L. It's just made up. Just like the dreams we have at night, we might look back on a dream that we could remember, and we could begin to say, oh, well, I am this, and or I saw myself as, well, I remember one dream recently where I saw myself as standing at the counter at an airline company trying to buy a plane ticket. And when I reached into my pocket, I didn't have any money, so I saw myself as broke. None of that was true, because I was safe at home in bed the whole time. I was just playing make-believe with myself. just plain make-believe. I think it's interesting that he does point out that you'll probably see yourself in more negative aspects of yourself initially when you begin to look at the thoughts, the self-talk that we have based on the idealized image of ourselves is generally negative. Why? Because we haven't attained the idealized image of ourselves, not to ourselves, not by our description, not by our definition, and not by all of our effort. Regardless of whether you're 15 years old or 85 years old and anything in between, the ego certainly keeps us very distracted, very, very busy. Very busy indeed. And distracted from what? The truth that my mind is part of God's and I am very holy. I am perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. I am the energy of the Creator in action. As the energy of the Creator in action, I release all tension. There's nothing to fix. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing that needs to be accomplished. I'm already accomplished. Perfect. Neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. And so it is. The truth is true. Because if my mind is a part of God's and God is perfect, that fits together very well, does it not? If my mind is part of God's and God is perfect, I am perfect. And what is perfect needs to accomplish nothing. What is perfect is already done. Nowhere to go, nothing to get. It seems like at first we try to figure out how to navigate through our family structures. And eventually, somewhere in our teens, we try to navigate through our educational structures. And that's a pretty tedious, in these days, and I think in all ages, it's always been a pretty tedious endeavor. And then we try to navigate our social structures so that we can feed ourselves, take care of ourselves, and not be, you know, dependent on anyone else. Because the ego's motto, of course, is that I need nothing and no one. I want to be independent. I want to be separate. I need to prove I can exist as a separate self. That's an idealized self right there, right? And it can never be achieved. Why? Because God created you in relationship. You cannot be outside relationship. You cannot survive for a moment outside of relationship because that's impossible. You have to forgive God in His construct or His creation, if you will, of you because you're created in a relationship and you have never been alone and you never will be alone. And once you begin to realize, become real. Once you have an experience of realization, the world and all of its folly is absolutely laughable. And you see that there was never anything to get to begin with. Toward the latter part of the exercise period, however, more self-inflating descriptive terms may well cross your mind. I am magnificent. I am victorious. I can build myself up to, you know, in one moment to be grandiose. And the whole time I'm doing that, I'm completely oblivious to my grandiosity. Because what God has created is perfect. And not because I have done anything at all. I see myself as this, I see myself as that, victorious or as a loser. But those are false constructs because my mind is a part of God. I am very holy. So the two things I wanted to point out is the one part of this, as we look at this exercise today, this lesson is that I'm giving expression to the ego self. When I say, I see myself as this or I see myself as that. And of course, we're automatically running the calculator, deciding how far we are away from that idealized self. But in that moment of taking that good deep breath, and coming back to the very center of ourselves and recognizing this teaching, this curriculum has given us a tool to stop right where we are, to turn on that point, to pivot on that point, and to go within and recognize the absolute truth. But my mind is part of God's. Regardless of how I see myself, my mind is part of God's. I am very holy. So if that's true, and I assure you that it is, I can go through my day today and look for an opportunity when I could say, okay, how can I be a holy person in this moment? And so given the definition that our brother Jesus has shared with us and I've repeated and shared with you today, a holy person is an incredible friend. Wow. Is that attainable today? You betcha. Absolutely. How can I be an incredible friend to my brothers and sisters today? Because you don't have to look far, do you, to see someone who might be in some need, maybe need a little hug, a little love, a little attention. Does it have to be another person? No. It could be that precious companion that you have in your home. Your little cat or your dog or your bunny rabbit. You can be a holy person anytime you want to. But if you want to truly know the experience of being a holy person, check in first with the Holy Spirit. Nothing more than your right mind. Turn within, take that good deep breath, and simply ask, are you there? Allow the knowing that you could never be alone to wash over you. Allow the knowing that you are indeed in relationship become an experience that guides you, and establish that dialogue and simply ask the question, how can I be an incredible friend in this moment with who I'm with now, with who I may be with later today, with my brothers and sisters in my world? Because my mind is part of God's, and I am very holy. I love you, my brothers and sisters, and I want to say thank you. I have so much gratitude for our relationship, and I really do appreciate you being here with me as we continue to discuss and discover a new way of being through A Course in Miracles. God bless and stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my into the heavens and in